This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Jeff Rowe, CEO of Syngenta. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Syngenta's Jeff Rowe next. America's 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers count on a strong U.S. sugar policy to keep American consumers supplied with an essential ingredient. Better yet, it's designed to cost taxpayers nothing. These farmers support more than 151,000 jobs throughout the sugar supply chain in both urban and rural communities. They contribute over $23 billion to the economy each year and help keep it sweet in America. Learn how the Farm Bill supports sugar crop farmers and workers at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. U.S. row crop farmers aren't the only ones in the world who have faced economic challenges over the past several seasons. Syngenta CEO Jeff Rowe says farmers around the globe are facing financial headwinds.
Well, I would say the ag market across the world has experienced some lumps. You know, last year was a difficult year, particularly for the input providers and pretty much every market around the world. Now, you have to put that in the broader context because, you know, we were coming out of two or three years of really rapid growth, and we saw a fairly significant market correction. Really kind of started a bit in 2023 in Latin America, and then it accelerated and expanded in 2024. So we've been through some pain, just like our customers have been through some pain. I will tell you that 2025, we had a good first quarter of 2025. The first half looks pretty reasonable, and I'm hopeful that the destocking's out of the market and that we're starting to see some real stability in this market.
I don't want to use the word stagnant in the U.S., but obviously compared to Brazil, Argentina, the Black Sea area, even with conflict, there are places where agriculture and ag productivity has grown. Where do you see growth opportunities ahead, and where does the U.S. fit in that mix?
Well, the U.S. is the most profitable market in the world for our industry, and so it has throughout my 30-year career, it continues to be absolutely one of the most critical markets in the world. Now, it's accurate, as you described, that the U.S. market is not growing as fast as some of the other markets in the world, but some of those other markets you mentioned, they're coming from a long way back, and there's been a lot of growth. There's been a lot of infrastructure improvement that's enabled a lot of growth in places like Brazil and Eastern Europe and other parts of the world. But you know, from my perspective, what I see is that while agriculture globally has been a little bit rocky over the last couple of years, I'm actually quite optimistic about overall agriculture, and that statement includes the United States. And the United States has, of course, some of the most productive farms and some of the most productive and advanced farmers in the world, and there's great innovation supporting agriculture in the U.S.
Corn, soy, and wheat, I would suggest, are the top three, but do you see emerging areas where other crops are making a dent, whether that be for renewable fuel or just for the desires of the consumers that live in a particular region?
Well, we are definitely seeing pockets of other crops that have some interest, things like cover crops that are, you know, in some cases can have a dual use for oil, but a lot of times it's for soil health purposes and rotational purposes. The other trend that we're seeing somewhat is water shortages driving crop selection, and particularly in the South, where we've had quite a lot of drought and heat conditions. But overall, what I see from my perspective, at least, is the major crops you mentioned certainly are still the major crops in the U.S., and I think for the foreseeable future will continue to be the major crops.
As you mentioned soil health, from the U.S. perspective, are you seeing producers really concentrating now on soil health and moving to regenerative ag practices?
Well, I definitely see pockets of that. There's a lot of interest as I travel around the U.S., and other parts of the world in soil health. There's a lot of interest in regenerative agriculture practices, and different people have different definitions, different terms. But to me, it's very logical. I mean, if you think about the biggest investment that most farmers around the world, and definitely the case in much of the United States, the biggest investment that they make, their most important asset is their land. And so anything that could be done to improve the quality of the land, the health of the land, farmers are interested in that. So you couple that fact with the other fact that I think is driving some of this, is that the science relative to soil health has really started to accelerate. That is, the knowledge that we have about what's going on in the soil, the soil ecosystem, and things like biologicals that we can use and introduce into farms to help enhance soil health and promote biodiversity. Those are all things that I see as definitely having a positive trend. A lot of farmer interest, and there's a lot of interest on companies like Syngenta to help support that type of activity, that type of trend in agriculture.
What's the next paradigm shift in agriculture?
Obviously, farmers are very interested in yield, and I think unless something really dramatically changes in agriculture, we'll always be interested in yield. But there's also now much more of a focus on what is the overall impact of the systems that are being employed by farmers. How can cost be controlled, contained, using, you know, innovation like precision application. We talk a lot within Syngenta about work that's going on in artificial intelligence to help farmers make better decisions that are very much tailored to what's going on their farm. We're also using those type of tools to be able to develop, create, and commercialize better products. So I think the way I would describe it, again, is the systems approach, where it's not just one area like genetics or one area like soil health or one area like chemistry and biologicals. It's really the combination. And I think, to me, the glue that holds that combination together and will continue to develop over time is data analytics and using digital tools to be able to handle much, much more complex scenarios and situations that I think will ultimately result in much improved productivity for farmers, and I think a smaller ecological impact of agriculture.
From the advent of artificial intelligence and the data that we now are collecting in agriculture, how do you see AI and analysis of data benefiting the farmer, but also benefiting companies like Syngenta with the development of genetics and the ratios of those variables that producers face?
Well, we're at, I would still say, a bit of an early stage of that as it relates to farmer decision making. I mean, there's definitely a lot of tools out there. There have been for quite some time, and some of those tools connected with data have been used to make real decisions. But for the most part, I wouldn't say that they've had a huge material impact on the decisions that farmers are making on a day-to-day basis. I do think that that trend will lead to more meaningful decisions being made on the farm, again, to help farmers make better decisions, not only just in terms of agronomic practices and how they're managing their farms, but also things like marketing their crop. So there's a lot of promise there. I think it's really dependent on the farmer and depending on the area on how much real impact that's having today. Now, the other part of your question was, how are companies like Syngenta using tools like artificial intelligence to make better decisions for the products that we're producing? And I can tell you that in that space, there's a lot of progress being made. In fact, every new crop protection product that we release commercially today has been enhanced in some way, shape, or form by artificial intelligence. And if you think about the amount of money that we invest every year as a company, which is about $2 billion a year, U.S., on our research and development, and the amount of money that's being invested by the industry, and the complexity of the science that we're dealing with, the solutions like artificial intelligence, or the tools like artificial intelligence, I should say, actually fit perfectly with what we're trying to do, solve very, very complex problems. And so I'm very excited about that in the R&D area. I think it's also relevant in other areas like our production, manufacturing, supply chain. So I think there is a lot more benefit to come, and we are seeing some benefit today.
The regulatory system in the U.S. appears to me providing some pretty strong headwinds for the crop chemical side of the business and crop protection. Do you see that same challenge, and is that a concern with developing chemistries that producers can use that we're already using for minimal and no-till, but for cropping systems in the future?
First and foremost, it's really important for companies like Syngenta, our industry, and I think for farmers, to have a robust, reliable, science-based regulatory system. It's really important that the customers, the farmers, and the consumers in the United States and other parts of the world have confidence in their regulatory system. So that's very important. You mentioned some of the bureaucracy and some of the issues that we're seeing. It is a fact that it is taking us much longer to get products approved in the United States, and that's concerning because the process is already very long, roughly about 10 years, and very expensive, several hundreds of millions of dollars. And the fact that the U.S. is now oftentimes not the most efficient or the fastest to regulatory approval does hold the potential of making U.S. farmers less efficient because I can tell you the regulatory approval processes in places like Brazil and Argentina are now in some cases faster, in some cases significantly faster than the U.S., which means that those innovations are getting into the hands of the farmers in those markets in some cases faster than the U.S. And so it's very important, again, that we have a robust system, but it's also important that we have an efficient system because the challenges that farmers are facing are getting harder. You know, the weather extremes are more significant. There's a lot of issues that farmers are facing from resistant weeds, resistant pests, new diseases, and crop protection solutions are an important tool that farmers need to have access to.
It's one thing to face headwinds in the regulatory system and approval. It's another to face another headwind for products that have been approved, like atrazine, almost six decades ago. It seems you have to watch your front and you have to watch your back.
Well, again, we come right back to the same point, which is the U.S. has always been the gold standard for a science-based regulatory system globally. And that's very important for U.S. farmers. It's important for the globe. And, you know, we think that, 60 years of history and a lot of the precedent that's out there is really solid and it should be respected. And so, yes, we are paying close attention, not just to how long it takes us to get new products approved, but also defending the validity and very long history of safe use of some other products that have been on the market effectively for a long time.
Jeff, how important is it for the crop protection industry to have protection from litigants?
Well, I mean, litigation in the U.S. Is a bit challenging from the standpoint of it's very easy to bring litigation against companies and it can be a very expensive and long process. I do think that, it's important that the legal system, much like the comments I made about the regulatory system, needs to be equitable, it needs to be efficient, it needs to be fair. And, there's some really good things about the process, in the U.S., and there's some things that aren't particularly helpful. But if we're very confident in the safety of our products, and we're very confident that our products are tested, pre-commercialization, extremely effectively, and therefore we think that our position relative to litigation should be representative of the work that goes into the work and the reviews that happen at the regulatory agencies, as well as the scientists within the companies that are doing a lot of safety and environmental impact studies pre-commercialization.
Well, I had the opportunity to be with you and other individuals with Syngenta in South Carolina as you were cutting the ribbon on a new facility that's in the biological area. How big are biologicals, and how can they change this agriculture as we know it today?
It's an exciting area. We see a lot of interest from farmers around the world who want to understand more about the potential of biologicals. We have a very robust research and development process that we're using in this space. And you made mention of it. I think, to me, a big part of the future is going to be how do we combine, some of the new innovation that's coming in biologicals with traditional synthetic chemistry, which we know is very effective. And you couple that with an enhanced knowledge of what's going on in the soil and how the plants are interacting with the soil. I think it's going to unlock a lot of value. And we have future value that's coming. But what's really exciting about biologicals, and part of the reason why we opened the manufacturing facility in South Carolina, is we got great products now that farmers are seeing value. They're eager to buy these products, and it's a very rapidly growing segment of our industry.
So let's put two together, biostimulants and biocontrols. Give us an example of how they will take genetics that we already have and improve their productivity.
Well, in the biostimulant space, we think about it really in three categories. There's stress mitigation, there's crop enhancement, and then there's soil enhancement. So in that area, you can answer your question in a couple different ways depending on which category you pick. But all of those areas, of course, are of great interest to farmers. The ability to mitigate stress, the ability to enhance crop health, and the ability to enhance soil health, all very exciting. Now, in the biocontrols area, frankly, it's a harder area to invent in, harder area to show real progress. We have some great new products coming. But in a biocontrol space, when you're competing directly against synthetic chemistry products, it's a different hurdle to get over. And so, again, it's part of the reason why we're excited about it from a Syngenta perspective, because we're using the same techniques in terms of evaluating the efficacy of these products that we're applying to any commercial product that would come through the chemical pipeline, which gives us a lot of confidence that the products that we ultimately sell are going to be really valuable, and we know they're going to work in the environment.
As these are biologicals, living organisms, does that make it more challenging to patent?
Yeah, I mean, the intellectual property protection area in this space is different. It's hard to say if it's more challenging or not. I mean, there are, in some cases, less options in terms of being able to protect the innovation. But you have other things like being able to protect the know-how and other techniques that we could use. I mean, it's important for us from the standpoint of the investment we're making and being able to recoup that investment. But we see a great business here. And if there wasn't the ability to protect and to continue to innovate and, most importantly, create value for our customers, we wouldn't be investing as heavily as we are in this area.
Well, from an environmental standpoint, sustainability, and from a bottom line to producers, I'm excited to hear about your nutrient use and the ability for the plant to be able to draw more from the soil and farmers be able to reduce inputs again.
Yeah, that's a very exciting area. And, as somebody who comes from a farm and knows how much farmers spend on nutrients, this is an area, of course, that has a lot of interest for farmers around the world. And I think it's the combination of being able to better understand how plants utilize nutrients, and I think very importantly, when plants most need the nutrients, because there's a very important timing aspect of this, which is directly, of course, linked to genetics, as well as the mechanism for the uptake of the nutrient. All these things are combining to, I think, create a lot of opportunities for innovation and nutrient use efficiency. This is a big area. As you well know, farmers spend a lot of money in this space. There's great opportunity for improvement. And I think over the next decade, we're going to see some amazing innovation in nutrient use efficiency.
Jeff, from a dollars and cents standpoint, I would have to believe Syngenta sees an opportunity for growth in biologicals. So how big is the biological market now, and what do you think it could become?
Well, it's a little bit of a tough answer in terms of how big the market is, because it depends a little bit on where you draw kind of the lines between where the market begins and ends. But, for planning purposes and the way we talk about the biological market within Syngenta, we consider it about a $12 billion market today in 2025. And we think this market will grow to roughly a $20 billion market by 2030. So, over a short amount of time, over just a five-year period, the market will nearly double in size. And that's, again, it depends a little bit on who you ask and what markets, but the trajectory is clear. The trajectory is a lot of rapid growth. And, again, part of the reason why, we are excited about this area. Now, I think it's also important to recognize that is still small relative to traditional crop protection market, but growing faster. And I think the opportunity for even more rapid growth beyond 2030 really exists as the products continue to improve and as customers become more familiar with them. I mean, in a lot of cases, you know, farmers are trying biologicals in some parts of the world for the first time. And, you know, having good experiences with biologicals over the course of the next few years, I think, only lends to more growth in the future.
So does the biological side of the business replace chemistry?
No, we don't see biologicals as a replacement for chemistry at all. We think it's very complementary to chemistry. We think there are some areas where biologicals might provide perhaps a better solution, and there will be other areas where chemistry would be a better solution. But, again, I think the real magic, if you will, is looking at the combination here that can exist between these two. And that's an area where a company like Syngenta, which, you know, we're the largest crop protection company in the world, and we have a very robust research program and product development program, that's where I think we'll be able to really pressure test this and, you know, leverage that information, leverage that expertise to be able to have real conversation with farmers on where value can be created.
What message do you have as the CEO of Syngenta for consumers that are far removed from production practices that farmers are using today about your goal, the farmer's goal, to provide sustainably produced and affordable food?
Well, I think that we have much more in common than maybe we realize. I mean, if you think about it from the standpoint of, you know, Syngenta really shares the goal of improving the health of, you know, all Americans, and, you know, really can broaden that statement to all consumers around the world. You know, I think if you start there, that is absolutely one of our missions, is to have, you know, products that can be safely used and improve the health of human beings around the world. You know, that's point number one. Point number two is that we're very much focused on how we reduce the environmental footprint of agriculture, which, you know, agriculture, of course, is an absolute essential part of our culture, because it's where our food comes from. We can do a better job as an industry of reducing the environmental footprint that agriculture has. And those two things are basically the mission that we have as a company. And part of the reason why you know, I'm so energized by the great work that we do as a company, but it's not limited to Syngenta. I mean, I can tell you that I think most reputable companies in the industry hold the same mission, and I think that's really important. And so there seems to be a misperception about those points, and I'm not sure how else to address it other than just be really clear about where Syngenta stands and where our industry stands, and I think there's more common ground than maybe we realize.
Well, Jeff, it's been a joy to have you on this edition of Open Mic. Certainly glad that you were able to take time to be with us. It is Open Mic, and today you get the last word, sir.
Well, again, thanks for everything that you're doing. I think it's really important to have these discussions, to ask these questions in a very open and transparent way. I'm somebody who's, you know, spent my entire career and my entire life in agriculture. I feel very passionate about what agriculture is, but I also recognize that agriculture, like every other industry, needs to continue to evolve. We need to continue to ask ourselves tough questions on how we can do things better. And I think a program like this helps to get some of those conversations out there. So I appreciate the opportunity to engage with you. Thanks again for coming to our event in South Carolina, and look forward to seeing you next time.
Many thanks to Jeff Rowe, CEO of Syngenta, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Dowling.